From historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, this is The Seminary Explores. Conversations about people, politics, theology, and life with your host, Dr. Nelson Strobert.
Welcome to The Seminary Explores, and my name is Nelson Strobert, and my guest today is Bishop Gerhard Ulrich, who is Bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Northern Germany. Welcome to the Seminary Explorers.
Thank you so much.
But this is not your first time. You've been with us. You visited Gettysburg before.
I was here in Gettysburg in 1993 with a group of vicars from Northern Germany, and I've been here in 1999, especially with my four sons and my wife.
That's right. I remember that.
Yes. Yeah, we had an intensive partnership. Between our two seminaries here in Gettysburg and in Preetz in Northern Germany. And I've been the director for several years of our seminary there.
Right. And so that's where we first met.
And we met in Preetz too.
That's right. Indeed. Well, it's good. It's a delight to have you with us again in Gettysburg. And I'd like to ask you, and for our listening audience, what brings you to the United States now on this trip?
There's an intensive relationship between the Lutheran churches in Germany and the ESCA here in the States. And sometimes it's necessary to go out and to go over the large sea to learn from one another. So we came here to learn something about the situation of the ELCA. We know that there are some challenges after the decision in the issue of human sexuality, for example, and we have the same in Germany.
Oh, really?
We discuss the same in Germany. So we are, we are coming from different cultures. We are talking in different languages.
Yes.
But we experience we are one in Christ.
Right. Exactly.
So, and we can help one another. But first we have to understand who we are. And the specific topic for this trip is how is theological education running in this country? It's a fully different way than we run in Germany. You know, in Germany, the students go to the state university.
Yeah, that's right. And theology is taught at a state university.
Yes, it's taught only there.
Oh, okay.
And then they come to our church seminaries, to
Prediger seminar,
the internships, and to go into the congregations. So that's a different way. And but what is common for us is the large. It's very important that it's more important than ever that we give large efforts in the theological educations here and in Germany, because people have less knowing about what is Lutheran. What are we? Who are we as Lutheran Christians? Well, what is our identity? What is our vocation? Our special vocation in this world?
Right, and how do we contribute to the ecumenical discussion about the church?
That is the next point. We are both part of the worldwide Lutheran family in the Lutheran World Federation.
Yes,
and especially in Germany, we have several links all over the world, and we have to come together. We have to stay together. We have to listen to one another and to say, what is our special vocation as Lutherans in this world?
Very, very much so. And I find it surprising when we talk about Lutheranism and Germany, where the roots of our identity come from, in terms of theological roots, are based in Germany. And yet you say you're saying that we have similar problems.
We have similar problems because in Germany, there's the Lutheran identities coming from the Landeskirchen, from the regions.
Yes.
You here decide actively to which congregation or which denomination you want to belong to.
Right.
In Germany, you are a Lutheran by baptizing.
Okay.
And when you change the country,
yes,
you become a Reformed Christian. But you never ask why and what is it and what is the difference. So we have to bring an intensive education in all these things, because the diversity is a strength of the churches of the Reformation. And we should not overcome the diversity.
But in the last few years, I mean, there's been communication and sometimes connections with the Reformed Church.
Yes, there are. Since 40 years now, we have in Germany, in Europe, we have the Leuenberg Concordia.
Right.
Which gives us the possibility to have communion with one another.
Right.
That is a new thing 40 years ago. But it is, Leuenberg does not eliminate the diverse confessions.
Okay, that's important for us.
It gives space for all the diverse and different ways of faith and hope and being a church. But people has to know. They have to know, because confessions are more important than ever in a world which gets more and more different and more complex. It's even more important to have a look at where I am from.
That's right. That's very important. Very important. I'm continuing my discussion with Bishop Gerhard Elrich from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Northern Germany. I'd like to ask you now about your responsibilities as bishop. When I first met you, you were director of vicars at a Prediger Seminar in Preetz, Germany, and now you are bishop of a very large region. May I ask, I guess the question is, how do you manage to be bishop of such a large area? And I'm thinking, we're talking about the northern portion of Germany.
Yes, it's a large region from the North Sea to the Polish border.
Okay.
If you have a look at the map, you need a large table to find out where it is. Okay, but first of all, I have been a pastor in the congregation in Hamburg.
Okay.
I have been a director of the seminary. I have been a dean in a special region of my church, and now I am a bishop. But I have always been, and I am up to today, a pastor.
Okay.
A bishop is nothing else than a pastor.
Okay.
He has to bring the gospel to the people. And he has a special ministry. It's a special ministry. And that is the difference. But I am a pastor. And I like to preach. I like to be near to the people. I like to empower the people to tell the stories of God.
Well, you're enthusiastic. You've always been enthusiastic about people and spreading the gospel.
Yes.
But that's a large responsibility.
Yes.
And so isn't it more difficult to be with the people when you have so many administrative responsibilities?
That is what I want to say. It's very difficult now to be a pastor for such a large region. I try to come near to the people by my main office is my car. I'm sitting
okay.
there. I have a driver, and I'm sitting in the car. He said, "So we are together for more hours than you are with your wife."
That's right.
I'm sitting more than 700 hours in the car per year. I'm always on the road, and that is the large challenge to manage it. But I try to do that, knowing that I'm not alone. I cannot do that alone.
Right.
I have a staff with several members. I have two assistant pastors.
Okay, and what are their responsibilities?
Their responsibilities to manage my schedule.
Okay.
And make some ghostwriting.
Okay.
One of my assistant is with me this trip, and we're doing many things together. It's what I had to learn. From our first meetings, I'm rather a chaotic type, and I'm not very good organized. And that is a large challenge for me to organize my life and my ministry. And therefore, I have several people at several places of my church.
Okay.
In Kiel, in Schwerin, in Hanover, everywhere. And people are working so that I can do my job. My job as bishop is to be a church leader in a spiritual way. Okay. I try to enforce people to do the preaching, their ministry on their place.
So in some ways, you're the pastor to the pastors.
Yes, I'm the pastor to the pastors.
And as well as pastor to all the members of the church.
Yes. But it is, as Lutheran, we know that everybody who is baptized,
that's right,
is a priest.
Right.
And everybody who is baptized and member of our church is responsible for the life of the church. And I can only help them to do it. And I can only help them to see it. But there is a large responsibility for my ministry to hold things together and to bring people together and to have a look at the different cultures which are in my own church in Germany. We have different cultures. We have different stories. You know, the northern part of Germany, there is the large city of Hamburg. We have
right.
Urbanic church congregations.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a very large rural, area.
Exactly.
And the new church, the north church, so-called North Church, it's only 1 year old. They came to us, two small churches from the former GDR. With a very small number of members and a fully different history. You know, 40 years under dictatorship.
Yeah, that's right, under communism.
Under communism makes life fully other thing than we experience.
Exactly, and
my turn is every congregation has is a special part of the body of Christ.
Okay.
And we have to unify. We have to look at the unity of this body of Christ.
Right.
But unity does not mean uniformity.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. But that is a very different. We live with that tension.
Yes.
We do that. The same in the United States.
Yes.
We live with that tension.
And that is my. If you ask what is my responsibility, that is a large part. But you know, as the confession says, we are leading without power.
Right.
We are only leading by telling the word.
Exactly.
That is our power, and we have to empower people.
Exactly.
To come to that source.
Indeed. I'm continuing my conversation with Bishop Gerhard Ulrich of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Northern Germany. We talked about the office of a bishop. I'd like to ask you about some of the problems facing the church in Germany, and specifically in northern Germany at this time.
Yes.
As you see them.
As I said some sentences before, we came together to the North Church on Pentecost 2012. And it's a new church out of three churches. One church from the western part mm-hmm. of Germany, and two churches from the former GDR. And the main problem is, how can we reach people, even in the eastern part of our church, northeast, which have been since three generations without any contact to church.
Right.
Without any contact to the gospel.
Right.
How can we come in contact and communication with people who don't know anything about what we are for? And how can we understand what it meant for the Christians in the former GDR to be a congregation? You know, in 1989, it was the Lutheran Church which gave space for the friendly revolution.
Right, they were able to come together and talk.
Yes, they came together. They had their freedom prayers in the churches.
Yes,
I think that was the startup for the revolution. I think the wall came down in Berlin, for example, and all over the former GDR, because people met in the churches.
That's right. Very true.
And but people after that, when we came together, and were one state again, people did not come again to the church because they had no socialization. Right. On churches or religions affairs.
Exactly.
They did not know anything. And we, as church, we experience, perhaps we have been too close to one another inside the church.
Yeah.
What
in
we
the
need
right.
is, for the West and,
yes.
and in the East even, what we need is to learn, to have a mission to the inside, not only outside.
Yes,
inside
okay.
to understand how does a human being live without God? We say you cannot live without God, but they say, okay, I'm an old man, I'm an old woman.
Right. Yes.
So look at me. I'm okay.
Yeah. What difference does it make?
So what difference does it make?
Right.
But we and they don't know anything. So but we see people are very hungry. They are hungry to get to know something. What is that? What you do? You have as churches? What is more than we can see in this world? So they are fighting, for examples, for their small church buildings in the villages. They are fighting for
really?
Them, although they are not members of the churches.
But
How can we come to those sources
yeah.
Of hope? And then those sources of
so
living.
So those buildings, those small churches, were symbols of something.
Yes, they were symbols for that there is another space over over the space I know.
Yes.
There is a hope, there is a... life is more than I can see.
Exactly.
And people come in contact with that, and they are asking. But we have to learn as churches... we have to learn their language, and we cannot say, okay, if you don't understand me, it's your problem. No, it's my problem.
That's right. We need to be able to translate.
That is one of the responsibilities, mm-hmm. and the other is we have an increasing number and a decreasing number of members. We are getting smaller and smaller, and we are getting older and older. Because the population in Germany is decreasing,
okay,
and we are living longer, thanks God,
right,
thanks God, and the medicine. But we are getting older. So how can we handle with that? How can we be a church in a
declining.
Change in declining? Yes, and the third is we are getting an. We have a multicultural scene, especially in Hamburg.
Oh, really?
Yes, we have.
Could you share some of that?
We have a large group of Muslims.
Okay.
And we have other religions, especially in the metropolitan area
mm-hmm.
Around Hamburg and in Hamburg. How can we deal with that? How can we, as Christians, come into a dialogue with other faiths and with other denominations? How can we manage it? It's a responsibility of our days in a special way.
Okay. And when you say, you mentioned the declining membership, and that's similar to what's going on in the United States in many denominations, and I know within the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Why do you think we have a decline. Let's say with our, why aren't we, how can, why are we not keeping our young people, do you think?
Yeah, it's first of all, it's just a question for how do we talk to them? How can we learn to speak their language? How can we learn to understand how they are running? And the second is, in former times, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, when I was a young boy, it were the families who talked about the Gospels. That's and true. who prayed with one another. It was the families who educated, who gave lessons to the small ones about the small catechism of Martin Luther, or who sang with one another.
Right.
And the families don't do anymore these things in Germany. We can if a young man comes to the church to confirmation lessons, he does not know anything.
Well, that,
he does not know. He was not in the
Sunday school. Right.
He has no experience in his family. When I was a boy, my grandmother took me on her legs, and she sang songs. From the Book of Prayer.
Oh, okay.
And she told me the stories of Jesus, and I got in touch with that. And we as churches cannot do what families had would have had to do. So, some elder people who are going to die, and I sit at their bed, they tell me, "Oh, what a pity that I don't know any psalm. If I now could read a psalm or pray a psalm, it would good for me. It would be good for me." And that is our special responsibility these days, to have a look at how can we as congregation be a family to the young people.
Right. How do we inculcate how do we transmit the tradition of the church and the stories of the church.
And another problem, Nelson, is this. Times, they are changed, and the binding to institutions, not only the churches, is less than several years before. People feel free to choose what will be the way of their life.
That's right. And church has not been a part of that.
It's not an automatically a process to belong to the church as it was at the time as I or you, we were children.
Exactly. You know, that, you know, my social life, my sister and cousins, you know, was involved in the church, you know, and or we learned the stories from Sunday school so that, you know, they just became a part of life.
Yes. And today we are as churches, we are on a market of religious affairs.
Exactly.
And we have to find our place.
Exactly.
I don't weep about that, but we have to handle it.
Okay.
We have to find our place in that, because I am sure we have something to say which nobody else can say.
So in the midst of all of the issues, you're saying there's hope.
There is hope.
For the church and for all God's people.
I tell you, when we came together with those churches in the former GDR, I first had the impression there's nothing. There's nothing. There will never grow any flower out of the ground.
Right.
And coming in contact with those people who are fighting for the small church building, for example, I saw it was not a godless room. Even if people tried to forbid to be in contact with God, he did not stay away.
He did not.
He was in presence. But we have to discover You have to discover his feet prints.
Okay. Well, I can't believe our time is running out. It's been a delight. My guest today has been Bishop Gerhard Ulrich, who is the Bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Northern Germany, who has been visiting us here in Gettysburg. We hope to see you and hear from you again.
I hope to see you again and be welcome.
Okay. For the Seminary Explorers, this is Nelson Strobert. Have a good day.
You've been listening to The Seminary Explores from historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a production of the Lutheran Theological Seminary at Gettysburg. We invite you to visit our website at www.ltsg.edu. All opinions expressed on this program are those of the individual speakers and are not necessarily those of Gettysburg Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.